In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We know that it is Advent, but for the rest of the culture, it's already Christmas season. And you know what Christmas season means? It means weird shows on the so-called educational channels on the cable. It means shows that will tell you new and surprising things, the truth about Jesus, that he really didn't exist, and stuff like that. So most of the time, you can just ignore it. Not too long ago, they published a picture in National Geographic that said, this is what Jesus really looked like. And it was kind of an odd-looking fellow with a round face and curly black hair. Kind of looked like a tall hobbit. And I said, well, he looked like this because that's what people from Palestine at that time looked like. Oh, really? Everyone looks the same, right? Now, if you go to the Holy Land today, you'll see a good number of, you know, different skin tones, hair colors, and that's without, you know, dyeing. You'll even see different colors of eyes. You know, people don't necessarily fit a stereotypical view of what they look like. It's not like all Krauts look alike or all Mexicans look alike. You know, people look differently. And it's entirely possible that our Lord could have had lighter hair or blue eyes or black eyes. You know, you don't know. And so when people ask, what does Jesus look like? What I tell them is, look at the Shroud of Turin. You know, that's what Jesus looked like. Because interestingly enough, the image on the Shroud of Turin is very much like the traditional representation of Jesus in icons. And so that's where the iconographers got their view of what Jesus looked like. Be that as it may, it doesn't matter so much what Jesus looked like. What matters is that he was both true God and true man, that he was like us in all things but sin. That he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity who emptied himself of glory and became one like us in all things but sin. He took upon himself our frail human nature. And where did he receive his human nature? Who did he receive it from? His mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so today we celebrate her Immaculate Conception because she was to be the mother of God himself. She had to be born in a very special way. Because she would carry Jesus within her womb for 9 months, she had to be preserved from the stain of sin. And so that she could say yes to God unreservedly, all of her life, she was preserved from the consequences of the sin of Adam and Eve. How was she preserved from the stain of original sin? Well, the same way you and I can be healed by the stain of from the stain of sin through the cross and resurrection of our Lord. What makes it extraordinary for her was that it happened for her 50 years before our Lord died upon the cross. How is that possible? Well, he's God. God stands outside of time. He says time is not a barrier. And why was it necessary? Well, it's necessary for a couple of reasons. First of which is, what is sin? Sin is being away from God. It's being having a barrier between us and God. And you and I, when we were born in a state of sin because of Adam and Eve screwing up way back then. How could God have a nature that was separated from God? It's impossible. Our Lord needed a nature as God made it in the beginning when everything was good. And so his mother's nature had to be that way. Secondly, she carried God within her womb for 9 months. She was the Ark of the New Covenant. Just imagine something sinful trying to carry God himself within her for 9 months. It would be impossible. You know, for similar reasons, that's why we have to be baptized before we can receive Holy Communion. That is why if we fall into a state of mortal sin, we need to go to confession before we go to communion. Because if you receive communion unworthily, you're eating and drinking destruction upon yourself. It won't do any good for you. And so she had to be innocent of sin to bear God within her womb for 9 months. And as a consequence of her being free from sin, she was able to say yes to God. Most especially when she said, "I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." Even to the point of when she said yes to God by standing at the foot of her son's execution, when he died for you and for me, and yes, for her. Where is she now? She is in the presence of God at the right hand of her son, interceding for us. And because of that, she is an example for us of where we can be. Because we too, though not from the moment of our conception, we too have been freed from the stain of sin. Through baptism, through the Holy Eucharist, through the sacrament of confession, we have shared in the cross of Christ. We also should remember that today is a very special day for us as citizens of the United States, because the Blessed Virgin Mary, under her title of the Immaculate Conception, is the patroness of our country. Now, other countries have different saints as their patrons. Canada has St. Joseph. England has St. George. Scotland, St. Andrew. But we got the best, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Our Lady the Immaculate. And so we should remember our country in prayer at all times, but especially today, that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may grow in holiness and fidelity to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.